Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your work of salvation was a complete work that covers absolutely every area of our lives. And we thank you that you want us living in the fullness of life, in all that you have done for us and all that you have won for us on the cross through your glorious resurrection and ascension to heaven. So we thank you that the spirit of faith will be upon us this morning, that as we hear your word, so faith will rise up within us from the hearing of your word, and that we will then go to put this faith into practice for the praise and honor of your name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching about being honest with God, realizing that often we're in situations where our faith doesn't measure up to what is needed in that situation, and that we needn't despair about that, because if Christ is within us, we have the faith of Christ within us. And when we come to the end of our faith, then that's the time to trust in his faith. And when we trust in his faith, it is true that nothing is impossible. The faith of Jesus turns the impossible into the possible. Amen. And then the possible into reality. So really what I'm going to share with you this morning is following up on that. I know lots of people said that they found that very helpful last time. It's helpful, isn't it, to know our own weakness. But, of course, not to concentrate on that. Now, in the Epistle to Hebrews, in chapter 3, we read this: "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling," that's you, of course, "fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess." Fix your thoughts on Jesus. How on earth do you do that? Then if you turn to chapter 12, chapter 11 is all about the great people of faith from the Old Testament. So chapter 12 begins, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Then if you go down to verse 3, "so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How on earth do you do that? How can you fix your thoughts on Jesus and fix your eyes on Jesus? Obviously, when we do that, then that faith of Christ within us can rise up within us, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. But also, if we keep our eyes on him, we will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, the scripture would not tell us to fix our thoughts on Jesus and our eyes on Jesus, unless, of course, God had made this possible for us. And the Holy Spirit of God himself lives within us to make possible every word that God has spoken. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. What's the alternative? To fix your thoughts on yourself and your eyes on yourself, your situation, your feelings, your environment, your problems, your needs. It's one or the other. Either your thoughts are fixed on Jesus or they're fixed on yourself. Either your eyes are on Jesus or they're on yourself. Now, of course, the writer to Hebrews was well aware of this because he was a human being who, like us, is tempted in every way and seeks to live the life that God called him to live, right in the midst of a world that is opposed to the purposes of God. And he would have known how easy it is to get your eyes fixed on yourself and your circumstance rather than on Jesus. So he doesn't say, glance at Jesus every now and again. He doesn't say, have a few thoughts about Jesus every so often, especially when you're in trouble of some kind. No, he says the key, the clue to living a life where, as the scripture says, will not grow weary and lose heart. The key is to keep your focus on Jesus. Now, I think most of you are well aware of the nature of our calling. That what God has called every one of us to do is to walk as Jesus did, to become more and more like him, to be transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And all this sounds very good and is very good, but there's almost a sense of impossibility about it. Certainly we know that we cannot accomplish any of these things ourselves, that it has to be the work of the Spirit within us. So, what is Jesus wanting of us? Well, he wants us to live as disciples. He wants us to live in the goodness of everything he has done for us, all that he has imparted to us, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And right from the beginning of his relationship with the disciples, his word was, follow me. Now, that's a very important command. It actually indicates that Jesus is going somewhere, that Jesus is constantly on the move. You can't follow something that's stationary or static. So when he says, follow me, he wants to lead us where he is going. And of course, he has his plan and purpose to see the Father's purpose for creation being outworked. So as believers who have been born again, he has somehow incorporated us into that plan and purpose. In other words, he's saying, I have a part for every one of you in the plan, in the destiny that I am working out in the whole of creation. That might seem an enormous call, but then the scripture says, live up to your high calling, because God doesn't have a low calling for any Christian. So the only way to fulfill God's call upon our lives is to follow him. Now, he walks on the narrow way. Jesus said there are two ways. There's the narrow way that leads to life, and there's the broad path that leads to destruction. Do you remember when you were a little kid? You loved to walk on top of a wall. If there was a wall that was low enough for you to jump on, you would walk on that wall. That is a narrow way. But when you walked on that wall, you made sure that you looked where you were going. If you didn't keep your eyes in front of you, you would have fallen off. The one thing that you would never do when you're walking on top of that narrow way is to look back. That would be absolutely disastrous, because you would immediately fall off. You see these gymnasts doing these impossible things on a little bar about that wide. But they never look back. They're always looking ahead. And they can do these somersaults and all kinds of things, but always their eyes are fixed upon what is ahead, never looking back. So here's the first lesson we learn about fixing our eyes on Jesus. We never look back. Jesus says those who look back are not fit for the kingdom. So we won't find any answers to how to live in the way that God intends by looking back to the past. The past is past. The old has gone, and the new has come. Looking back to yesterday doesn't help you live today. Even yesterday is the past. And Jesus says, every day has enough cares of its own, so you don't even have to worry about tomorrow. Amen? Because worrying about tomorrow never accomplishes anything. In fact, worry never accomplishes anything positive at all. It only makes the situation seem worse. So, here we have the first lesson. We look ahead, because Jesus is going before us. He actually promises to level the path, to make the way plain and smooth for us so that we can walk on the way. Now, if you think about it, if you're following him, you're putting your feet where he put his feet first. It's not like that, footprints in the sand thing where you see the two feet going, footprints going side by side. But actually, we're putting our feet where Jesus has put his feet before us, if we keep our focus on him. So, in other words, we are not going to resolve the situations that confront us. Our trust has to be in him so that he resolves those situations. Am I speaking to a people of faith this morning? Okay. Now, if I'm on this walk with Jesus, I've got a number of alternatives before me. I want to see Jesus, whatever that means. to fix my eyes on him, to fix my eyes on his word, to believe in his presence with me, to believe that he is going before me. And he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now here's my first problem. If I look at myself, all I see is impurity. I do not see in myself the purity of Jesus. I see something of his purity, but I know it's possible still to have impure thoughts, impure desires, to say things that are impure, because anything that is opposed to the word of God is impure. I can have thoughts that are not in line with God's will, and I suggest that's true for you also. So it's foolish of me to look at my impurity, because that's not going to help me. In fact, it's going to distract me. There's no point in looking at my impurity. If I'm aware of it, what am I going to do? I'm going to claim the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. But if I've got any sense, I'm going to keep my eyes on the one who is pure. And my prayer is going to be, Lord, you live in me to express the purity of your heart in my life. So I want to trust you as the author and perfecter of my faith, that you will somehow reflect your purity of heart in me. Because when I look at myself, of myself, there is no purity. The only purity is your purity in me. So I fix my focus, my concentration on you. Beloved, whatever the nature of your impure thoughts, whether it's criticism, judgment of others, whether it's lust or greed or selfishness, all these are impure. Whatever the nature of them, looking at those things does not help. Getting before God and crying out, oh God, I'm such a mess, all these things. I put on the show of being the person that I want to be, but oh, you can see my heart, you can see. It doesn't actually help. Because God says, well, what are you going on about all that for? Why don't you just claim the cleansing of my blood and get on with the job of following me? Are there any believers in the room?
Yes.
Now, the scripture says that God has called us in righteousness, because everything God does is right. So he was right in calling us. And what he needed to do through the cross was to make it possible for us to be made righteous and acceptable in God's sight. And then the Old Testament scripture that is quoted most often in the New Testament is, the righteous will live by faith. So God called us in righteousness. He has made us righteous in his sight through the blood of Jesus. And he's called us to live in righteousness, to do what is right. Now, if I'm following Jesus, if I'm putting my feet where his feet have gone before me, there is always going to be righteousness. Because nothing God would ever do or could ever do would be unrighteous, because Righteousness is his nature. You sure I came to the right place?
Yes.
You're so quiet. Now, what this means is that if I look at myself, I'll easily see everything that is unrighteous, everything that is a contradiction to his righteousness. Oh, that doesn't mean I'm unrighteous in all my ways, because God has done a certain work in my life, just as he's done a certain work in your life. And many of the things we do are not self-righteousness, because that's as filthy rags, isn't it? If we ever think we are righteous in and of ourselves, then that's only filthy in God's sight. But we recognize that by his mercy and grace, something of his righteous ways are being expressed in our lives. But when I look at myself, I see what is unrighteous. When I look at Jesus, I see how he, in his wonderful love, is enabling me to walk in his righteousness. So that encourages me not to look at myself, but to keep my focus on him. So I can look at myself and see impurity. I can look at myself and see unrighteousness. Now, he's called me to live in peace. He wants me to be walking with him in unity. And when we're one with him, we have peace with God. He is the God of all peace. And peace was his parting gift to the disciples. And I've discovered that when my focus is on him, I'm full of peace. But when I look at myself, I lose my peace. When I start focusing on the problems or situations, or sometimes on what others are doing, I can lose my peace. But as soon as I get my focus back on Jesus, I'm back in the place of peace. Which shows it's a bit of an idiotic thing to do, to look at myself and to contemplate the lack of peace, or to focus on what others are doing, or to focus on the situation and lose my peace. One of the things that God has said to me repeatedly over the years is not to let the devil rob me, because he is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he says the first thing the devil always wants to steal from the children of God is their peace. And the quickest way to lose your peace is to look at yourself, or to look at what others are doing, or to look at the situation, or to look at the problem. You can't look at the problem and be at peace. But as soon as your focus is on Jesus, the peace returns. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Now, every one of us, at times, are in situations of need. And we know that the Lord is our provider in the fullest sense of that, because need can be of many different kinds. But it's easy, isn't it, to focus on the need and to keep praying about the need and wonder why sometimes the need is not being met. And I'll tell you why it's not being met, because you keep praying about it, instead of having your eyes on the provider. You see, if you have your eyes on the provider, you bring the need to him, and you leave the need in his hands, so you don't have to keep worrying about it and thinking about it and praying about it. In fact, what you're doing in prayer is you're constantly giving thanks because he has undertaken to meet the need. If I keep mentioning the need, the need, the need, God is really saying to me, you don't trust me. You don't believe that I meet the need. That's why you keep on going on about it. Now, why don't you, I mean, God doesn't actually say this, but, you know, what he means is, why don't you shut up and just trust me? But he puts it very politely. But I put it that way just to give you the point. So, if my eyes are on Jesus and I'm following in his footsteps, walking in his ways, then I can't be walking in need. I'm going to be walking in the answer to the need. I'm going to be walking in the provision, aren't I? So there's no point in me fixing my thoughts on myself and my focus on myself and the situation and the need. Now, we know that God is love, and therefore his commands are to love him with all our hearts, to love one another with the same love with which he loves us. His whole purpose really is summed up in that love, isn't it? But if I look at myself, I see selfishness, which is the very opposite of love. I see self-concern. Oh, I can see, by the grace of God, that he enables me to love, but I can see very readily that I don't love perfectly. He knows that, I know that. So focusing on the imperfections of my love doesn't accomplish anything. Oh, I can say, Lord, forgive me for my lack of love, or forgive me for my selfishness, and he does. But that's taken about 10 seconds to do. You see, forgiveness, it takes as long for God to forgive you as it takes to ask for the forgiveness. You don't have to go on and on and on and on and on. He says, well, just believe in my forgiveness. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. Not to go on and then preach you a sermon about it and tell you not to do it again. He just forgives you because of the power of the blood. So nothing is going to happen by me focusing on my selfishness and my lack of love and my failure to love in some circumstances. Obviously, if that love is going to grow and increase in my life, the only way that's going to happen is by keeping my focus on his love. Because we can only love because he first loves us. So the more my focus is on his love, the more I fix my eyes on his love, the more my thoughts are on his love, then the more of that love is going to be reflected in my life. He is actually going to change me from one degree of glory to another. I'm going to become more and more loving. But I'm never going to become more loving by looking at my lack of love. I can only be more loving by keeping my focus on his love. I did come to the right address, did I? Okay. Now, we know that this walk is a walk of faith. It's faith working through love. And he is the author and perfecter of my faith. So I'm never going to get any faith by looking at myself. In fact, if I look at myself, faith is going to drain out of me. Why? Because you believe in the one you look at. So to look at yourself is to put faith in yourself, whereas to fix your eyes on Jesus, he is the author and perfecter of your faith. Faith comes from hearing him, not listening to your own thoughts and saying amen at the end, which is the way some people pray. Amen? Well, we shouldn't say amen to that, really, should we? We should say, no, never, never, never. So if I am going to become the person of faith God wants me to be, there's no point looking at my doubts. No point looking at my unbelief. If I'm aware, as we saw last time, if I'm aware of a lack of faith, all I can do is say, Lord, forgive me, and ask him to actually release the faith into me that I need through the spirit of faith and the gift of faith. But that's only going to come by focusing on him, not focusing on myself. Or acknowledge my lack and say, Lord, forgive me. But as I say, that takes seconds. I don't have to sit down for half an hour and think what a miserable failure I am. And that brings us to another thing, you see? Because Jesus is my victory. He is the one who enables me to overcome. So if I look at myself, I know that I am, and depend upon myself, I know that I will be prone to defeat. Because trusting in myself is not going to enable me to overcome whatever the situation is. But trust in Jesus makes me an overcomer. So you see, focusing on His purity enables me to overcome my impurity. Focusing on His righteousness enables me to overcome my unrighteousness. To focus on His peace enables me to overcome my anxiety. To focus on His provision enables me to overcome my need. To focus on His love enables me to overcome my selfishness. To focus on His faith enables me to overcome my doubts. To focus on His victory enables me to overcome defeat. And God has called me and He's called you to be overcomers. So we haven't quite finished yet, because Jesus says, when He's praying for us, for all those who will become believers, in that great prayer in John 17, He says, "Father, I have given them the glory that You gave Me." So somehow or other then, it is true that God has given me glory. But when I look at myself, I don't see glory. But when I look at Him, I see glory. And the wonderful thing about praise is that it gets the focus away from ourselves and onto Him and onto His glory. And we always feel better while we're praising. It's what happens when we stop praising, you see. When we stop praising, then we rapidly get our focus back on ourselves. This is why the Scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why? Because that thanks keeps your focus on Him. Amen? And you know that, therefore, His glory enables us to overcome everything in our lives that does not glorify Him. Everything that is opposed to His will. So the only way in which we're going to, if I can put it this way, improve or live the new life that God intends us to live is by keeping our focus on Him. And so becoming the overcomers. Now, you see, I think when we use this word overcome, we think, yeah, I've got to overcome the enemy. Yeah, but you see, first and foremost, you've got to overcome yourself. That's the point. You've got to overcome yourself. Why? Because that self-life is the flesh that is opposed to the Spirit. And it's only the Spirit that enables you to overcome the flesh. And Jesus says, in your flesh there dwells nothing good. And yet He's put the fullness of His life in us, and everything about His life is good. So I know what is of myself is not good, but what is of Him is good. So the more I focus on Him, the more I overcome all those things of self that are not good. Now, what the Word of God says is aim for perfection. Aim for godliness. Well, when I look at myself, I see ungodliness and I see imperfection. I don't know about you. I mean, if you always see perfection and godliness, you come up here and take over and I'll come and sit down where you are. But you see, His perfection makes up for my imperfection. That's what the cross is all about. That's what the blood is all about. His godliness enables my ungodliness to be overcome. Are we getting this? Now, obviously, we are aware that because we do not live in perfection yet, we sometimes sin. when we sin, that encourages all these negative feelings of failure and defeat and, oh God, I've done it again. And he says, I know, and I'm ready to forgive you again. Because, you see, focusing on the sin does not make you any better. We confess the sin, he forgives the sin. But the only way in which we are going to be transformed into his likeness is by fixing our eyes on him, our thoughts on him and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Any believers in the room? So, I have some good news. I mean, it's all good news, really. But the wonderful news is this, that he is the light. And he's made me a child of light. And he says I'm to walk in the light because I have the light. And while I have my eyes on the light, I understand that whenever I look at myself, I see darkness, but the light overcomes the darkness. And where my focus is on the light, the darkness cannot determine who I am or what I do. I am a child of light, not a child of darkness. Do you live in the real world? I live in the real world. I'm talking about what it is to be a Christian in the real world. Is that right? Some of you are looking a bit strangely at me. As if you think because I'm up here on the platform, I should be able to look at myself and all I can see is Jesus in me. No. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul knew his weakness. He said, I'm even going to beat my own body. He didn't mean physically. Because having preached to others, I don't want to be condemned myself. He knew his own weakness all the time. That's why he called himself the chief of sinners. And he didn't say that at the beginning of his ministry. He said it right towards the end of his ministry, when he could look back over years and years of fruitfulness, how he'd taken the gospel to the Gentile nations. But when he looked at himself, he could still see the chief of sinners. But when he looked at Jesus, he could see everything that Jesus had done for him. So what does the scripture say? Have a sober estimate of yourself. Don't think you are so spiritual. You know the trouble with the Pharisees? This is actually true. The Pharisees thought they were the most spiritual people on the face of the earth. The Jews were God's chosen people, and the Pharisees were the chosen of the chosen. Because they appeared so religious. But what did Jesus say? Your hearts are full of corruption. You're full of dead men's bones. You see, that's what self-righteousness does. It gives you a totally false perception on where you truly are spiritually. See, I shared with you last time, what I've learned is the only way is to be absolutely honest with God, because you can't con him. So if you're honest with God, you're honest with yourself, you're honest about your own weakness, you're honest about your own failings, and you know his mercy, and you know his love, and you know his forgiveness, but you don't concentrate on yourself and your failure and your weakness. You fix your eyes on Jesus. Is that good news? You fix your eyes on the light. Now there's just two more things. And then I got some bad news for you. But I have two more bits of good news first. You see, what does Jesus say? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, the only way that you have His joy on you is by focusing on Him and His joy. You look at yourself and I guarantee you lose the joy. Are you sure you know what I'm talking about here? So if I keep my eyes on Him, I will keep rejoicing in Him. And the scripture says, be joyful always, which means I've got to keep my eyes on Him always. Are we there? If I keep my eyes on Him, then I will not grow weary. I will not despair. I will not want to give up. No matter how difficult the situation, no matter what comes against me. And then, the last of these ways I'm going to talk about overcoming, is we know that although we're following Jesus, sometimes there is sickness, there is adversity, there are problems, maybe physical, maybe in relationships, maybe emotional. But in one way or another, we need healing. Well, you get no faith from looking at the problem. You get no faith from focusing on the symptoms. You get no faith and no victory, no overcoming by keeping on to God about the problem. The only thing to do is to fix your eyes on Jesus, the healer. Just as focusing on the need doesn't meet the need, but the provider can meet the need, so keeping your eyes on the healer is essential if we want to receive the healing of the infirmities. Amen? And you see, the way people pray demonstrates whether their faith is really in Jesus to meet the need or whether they're just complaining about the need and wondering why God hasn't done anything about it yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
Okay. Now here's the bad news. We've seen that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we overcome all the impurity, the unrighteousness, the infirmities, the anxiety, the need, the selfishness, the doubt, whatever is opposition to His will, the sin and the failure, the darkness and despair, and the defeat. All those things are overcome by fixing our eyes on Jesus. The bad news is this. There's another fella around called the devil. And actually, he's read the book. He knows what's in the book. He could even quote it to Jesus when he tempted him. He knows what's in the book. He knows that we will not actually overcome if he can encourage us to take our eyes off Jesus and put them on ourselves. He knows that he doesn't have to get us to focus on the devil. We only need to focus on ourselves. And we will not be living as the overcomers that he's made it possible for us to be. So, sometimes you may not realize it, but this preoccupation with self has been encouraged by someone who is opposed to the truth. Because those who walk in the truth walk in freedom. And Jesus is the truth, and His word is truth. And the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So he says, get your eyes off Jesus. Get your eyes off His Word. Get your eyes off all that the Holy Spirit can accomplish in you. Just look at yourself. Now, you're not going to give the devil any victories, are you? You're not going to give him any satisfaction, are you? You're not living to please him. So, my dear friends, shall we put into practice what Jesus said? If any man or woman would come after me, let him what? What? Where did you get that from? You see, you knew it. But knowing it doesn't do it. How can you deny yourself if you focus on self? Isn't focusing on self the very opposite of denying self? And Jesus is saying, the only way to follow me is to deny yourself. Got to keep your eyes on me, not look back, not look in, but look up, look ahead. So shall we do it? Because he says it's the only way. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we do it, what's going to happen? We're going to be disciples, but we're going to be overcomers. We're going to see the truth and the reality of the life and the love and the power of Jesus Christ, enabling us to overcome all those negatives. Because instead of focusing on the negatives, we're focusing on the one who has already answered them. So, come on, let us stand and give glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you accomplished everything for our full salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to become the overcomers that you want us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that as we focus on you, you and you alone are the one who can create that purity of heart within us. You and you alone are our righteousness. You and you alone are our holiness. You and you alone are our victory. You and you alone are our provider. You and you alone are the healer. You and you alone, Lord, are the Lord of joy, who can create joy in our lives, the God of all peace, who can enable us to live in peace. Thank you, Lord, that as we fix our eyes on you, we can fix our eyes on the light that overcomes all the darkness, that in you there is no darkness at all. And we praise you, Lord, that we only have to acknowledge our failure and ask for your forgiveness, and that failure no longer exists. We only have to confess our sins, and you forgive us, and that sin no longer exists. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to have that faith over all those things of self that need to be overcome. That as we fix our eyes on you, so they are overcome. That as our faith is in you, we will not live in fear and anxiety and failure and defeat. But we will live as the overcomers that you've called us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that we can't con you and we don't have to try, that you know all about us, you know our weakness, but still you've called us in righteousness, still you've made us righteous in your sight, still you are our righteousness, and you will enable us to get it right as we put our trust in you. So we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm just so thankful that I don't have to try to appear to be something that I'm not, but I can be totally honest before you and before others, and thank you that you make me through your Holy Spirit the person that you want me to be. Not through any works of my own, but through your divine grace and through your mercy. And I praise you for that. Now, just before we close, just keep your focus on the Lord. And just thank him that he is the answer to whatever it is that you've been praying about, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a need, whether it's something that's causing that fear, anxiety, or whatever. But just thank him that the answer is in him. Tell him that you're going to keep your focus on him. And thank him, praise him even, that he is going to enable you to overcome because of your trust is in him. Thank you, Jesus, for the resolution of all these situations, because our focus and our attention is on you. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.